Dr. Richard Oppenlander thinks we may be kidding ourselves. His concern is the relationship between what we eat and what we're doing to our planet, and he says we live in an age of pseudo-sustainability. If we really want to save our planet, we need to get past our current comfortably unaware state of mind. That's the title of his new book. He's coming to Hawaii in April to talk about it, and we asked him what it is we're comfortably unaware of.
As a society, as a global society, we're comfortably unaware of a number of things, but the reason I wrote the book and the reason I have that title is because I feel the most important aspect of the effect we have or the effect we have on others in terms of our planet, our resources, our species, other species, and future generations is by way of what we eat, what we're choosing to eat. And so the title was, in effect, we aren't aware. And I believe we're all living in, as a global society, in a comfortable mode that we are not aware. And become aware, just it's so difficult to change their eating habits, no matter what the, no matter what is presented in front of them.
Well, Richard, when the food is presented to us, it's often presented to us in a way that's entirely detached from its origins. You know,
correct.
We open a package. I mean, it's an abstraction that we can even go back to how it was originally made, right?
That's right. No, that's exactly right. And the issue that I have right now is that that's what you just stated is in a comprehensive sense, sort of an envelope or an umbrella of how we live our lives. We just aren't aware of the origins of our food. But mine specifically is that I believe that there's a good emphasis right now, an impetus towards understanding more about labeling and especially high fructose corn syrup and processed foods and how many miles it takes to get to your plate, farm to table. These are all really important food trends. The difficulty is that the most important trend isn't being translated because it's the most difficult for the public and society in general to move through, which is what the effect is of our agricultural systems. I mean, forget that it's processed or not. Our systems are what causing environmental degradation. What's causing the loss of the principal loss of our environment, and those things are like our biosphere, the litho and hydro and atmosphere, the very environs that sustain us, mm-hmm. and all other life on Earth are being changed. And it's the first time in history that the history of our planet, 4.5 billion years, that we actually, or species, is actually changing the environment to the negative. And most of that can be lumps into the grouping of the effect of production and consumption of animal agriculture on our, whether people want to hear it or not, these are facts. And so that's what they're comfortably unaware about. That's what my message is about. And we hope to make change in the positive direction.
Well, Richard, agreed that we're comfortably unaware of those things, but also they're very far from our day-to-day lives, right? Talk
yes.
about abstractions. I mean, the whole idea of what's
yes.
happening to the planet in the macro sense, I mean, you're not going to get a lot of people in the general public to think about that very carefully.
No, and that's a very good point, Chris. I mean, the issue is, though, we need to create awareness first. And the behavioral change model is based very clearly on the fact that you can't change unless you know why and what you're changing about. So increasing or elevating the public's awareness of food choice and sustainability, particularly as it involves culturally ingrained products like animal products and how they're produced and what effects they have on our environment is critical. So we have to increase awareness first and then find ways to solve it, find easy avenues. Like, for instance, today, the literature is replete in literature. I mean, there's cookbooks every which way that can produce anything from appetizers to desserts that are extremely tasty and healthier for you and for our environment than using animal products. And so they're out there. It's just as a matter of increasing awareness first, because, as you said, most people just don't want to, you know, they're not aware of it because they're living in their own microcosm, which most people do. So we have to increase awareness first, and then present alternatives or solutions, and then it'll be a path to move beyond it.
Well, Richard, I think we are seeing changes in awareness, and young people are growing up with a far greater awareness of issues like sustainability and food safety than the previous mm-hmm. generation. But these things tend to move at a slightly better than glacial pace, you know, over the course of a generation.
Well, you brought up two points within that statement. One is that you're exactly right. Most of the emphasis, or most of the of my journey, is being driven by I'm speaking frequently at universities and academic settings, but also there's some policymakers. I was asked to speak to the European Parliament a couple months ago, and so because they're very concerned about sustainability. The issue we have is more the second part of that equation, or that statement that you made, which is the glacial pace, less than tortoise pace, which is very disconcerting, because we actually have timelines, very real timelines. And if we had more time, I could speak to you about each area of sustainability, what timelines we're on, and what effect animal agriculture has on those. And so you're exactly right. Whether it's climate change or freshwater scarcity, you know, all of these can be managed so much easier if we moved at a much, much quicker pace. Because you're right, we're running out of land and fresh water. Climate change is on a 2-year prediction before we reach complete irreversibility over the next, you know, few hundred years. Our oceans are being destroyed for a number of reasons. But the common thread that I want to make sure this is real clear, the common thread that weaves its way through all of these, I write about them in both my books, through 8 distinct major categories of unsustainability, what weaves its way and as a common thread is animal agriculture and the production techniques and systems that we have. So we need to really take a hard look at this, increase awareness, and then understand the timelines. And then I think that we can start seeing policy change. Doors will open for businesses. And you're right, maybe this tortoise pace will pick up a bit when everybody realizes that, you know, we have these timelines in front of us. And right now, I want to make sure this is very clear, we're on a path of pseudo-sustainability, where everyone thinks we're doing things that are sustainable because that word is found. It's ubiquitous. You see that word everywhere, but it's being misused if it doesn't properly position the role of animal agriculture in it. Because we can take baby steps forward, but the timelines we're on will not meet those timelines correctly if we don't eliminate animal agriculture. We just have to get rid of it and move on to more efficient means of eating. You know, I frequently say, does anybody use a feather quill pen to write with? Messages with, or a stagecoach, or you know, to send those messages? Well, no, because they're obsolete. They don't fit. And on a global basis right now, we are running out of resources, and our footprint is too large, our ecological footprint. And the single thing that anybody, any of your listeners can do to minimize their footprint, the single most important thing is look at what's on their plate.
Dr. Richard Openlander is the author of Comfortably Unaware and Food Choice and Sustainability. He's coming to Hawaii to speak to the Vegetarian Society of Hawaii at the Alawai Golf Clubhouse at 7 p.m. on April 12th and April 14th at the Cameron Center in Kahului, Maui. Both talks are free and open to the public.
I have become comfortably numb.